Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Engineer. Also, Captain Patrick has hung out with us today from the World of Boating radio show. And I don't know, Patrick, are you here
crowd
because
favorite.
Of Earth Day and you just want to help out today? Or you you have a kind of an accusatory vibe going on about you? He gave me this story from Key West. Human torso on underwater captain's chair turns out to be a fake skeleton off the coast of Key West. Are you trying to say that maybe we had something to do with this here at Scuba Radio? Because we have a strong contingency of Scuba Radio related folk down there in the Keys, and they may have been pulling over a fast one on our land loving folks.
Nothing of the sort.
Yes, it was. It's exactly what it was. And he thought surely we had our hand, because you know. Yes.
Why does he call you Shirley?
It's just something.
Because
he
can't
does.
Remember Patrick.
I yeah. understand.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, as divers, we are a twisted bunch. And evidently, there is somebody who's somewhat twisted that lives probably in the Key West area, which is hard to believe because that's such an upstanding area of the country. And most
it doesn't look like it was just put there either, though. From the photo, it looks like it spent some time down there. Yeah. Under the water.
But it was next to a wreck, so it was somebody having some fun.
Right.
Maybe somebody
leftover from Fantasy Fest, Halloween, maybe, you think?
Maybe somebody,
year.
Maybe her name starts with the letter T.
Hmm. Maybe. Who could that be that lives down in the Florida Keys?
Does she have an eye?
His diver?
Two.
Ah. Oh.
Weird. Weird. Anyway.
Very weird.
So they basically took this skeleton. Like that you would have gotten from, you know, Target in the Halloween section during that time of year, and put it in a chair, attached to a chair, into next to a wreck site or something.
I think that skeleton is maybe higher quality than what you would find at Target, unless
you
it's
think?
The skeleton of somebody who was still waiting for
customer
service.
Have you been to Targets lately during Halloween? They're getting very...
No, but I know somebody who takes their family there Christmas Eve.
Yeah, who?
And looks for DVDs in a bargain bin.
Who would that be? I can't imagine anyone would be so ridiculous.
Isn't my memory amazing?
It's better than mine, obviously. Anyway, I find it interesting. But, yeah, they found this skeleton next to this wreck, and a diver evidently found it and thought, oh, man, we better call the authorities. This doesn't look good.
Right.
And they obviously... they pulled it out of the water and realized it was a fake. Or actually, they realized it was a fake after. I mean, once they found it, but figured they better take it out of the water so they quit getting these calls to Marine Patrol. Like, hey, we found a skeleton. Yeah, I know. It's like a fifth time someone's told us about it this week. Right? Was that pretty much what happened, Patrick?
I guess. Maybe.
Yeah. So Monroe County
But I think
Sheriff's
they got
Office
one call, Greg. I think it was one singular call that prompted... this. I don't think they had an influx, a flurry,
calls. Well, once they realized it was fake, they took it out of the water because they didn't want to keep getting more calls from people saying they found a skeleton down there by a wreck.
Well, there are quite the jokesters down in that area.
Yucksters, yeah.
Jokesters.
Jokester. They're jokes, not yucksters.
No, because a few years ago, they got a report of bodies in water.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of bodies in the water.
But when they went out to out there, they found that they were mannequins.
Ah, okay. So somebody was littering, maybe.
It's actually worse than that because it wasn't actually mannequins. It was copies of the 1980s classic film Mannequin.
I knew he was going there.
That's just sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Yes.
Starship.
Just for the record, that
we
wasn't...
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
All right. How old are you guys? Really?
Old enough to go to Van Halen.
Shush. All right. So...
a 14-year-old girl.
So there you go. That wasn't us, just for the record, but we tip our fins to them because that is pretty funny.
Yeah, you know, but they've got their stuff so together down there, especially the sheriff's department. That
down in Key West, yeah.
The spokeswoman there, Becky Heron, said this is probably the first time they found a fake skeleton. They don't even know for sure if they've ever.
Well,
found
they don't
a fake
test all the skeletons,
and they just found the torso, by the way. So there's no leg. So. You know, someone could think that was a mermaid.
And what they're going to do is this is a torso which was originally attached to human feet, which wash up every other weekend in Washington State. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that.
I have
sneakers
no idea
on them.
Why you guys
sneakers.
Are talking? Sneakers. Let's move on to something more technical, more diving related, like the Hitler goldfish. There's a new brand, a new type.
I don't think it's a brand.
Species? Of goldfish. No, a new species? Is it?
Tread carefully.
But they're calling it the Hitler goldfish because...
It hates Jewish people.
I said tread carefully.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to guess why it is that they would call it the Hitler goldfish. Does it have expansionist goals throughout all of continental Europe? Does it make trees and then break them?
Did it write a terrible autobiography?
If you're not gold, it feels superior... to all the other fish in the sea, I guess.
Yes,
I
don't although know. Not a blonde-haired, blue-eyed fish, it thinks those are the master race of fish.
Maybe. I don't know. Well,
is it worshipped by people that shave their own head and put tattoos on the backs of their heads?
Can you let me out of the studio now? Because before we get the people show up with the torches and pitchforks.
This is Greg's idea to go down this path, not mine. I'm just trying to help him
extend
it to
booth.
Its logical.
You're
it's bulletproof back here.
That's
it's
like
bulletproof.
A safe room.
Yes.
I'm out here with Greg. Who do you think they're going to target?
Well, we have no idea what's in the mind.
Oh, you look. You're breaking out red spots.
Or the motivation
shiny,
behind
red
these Hitler goldfish. But they evidently have developed a kind of like a Hitler-type mustache above their mouth. And here's the picture
Why
of it.
Why isn't it the Charlie Chaplin goldfish, then?
Really?
The little tramp fish. The tramp stamp fish. Well, that would be someplace different.
Hey. It kind of has a mohawk. And the fin looks like a mohawk. So it kind of has that
I'm with you.
Type of mustache thing. And
maybe the Charles Bronson.
Going on.
How about the Charles Bronson?
What, Charles Bronson fish, goldfish?
Yeah.
Charles Bronson used to be the...
like that?
Used to be the guy whose name was on all of the metered gas pumps
in
Florida,
on,
Charles Bronson, but he's not there anymore. It's
when you look at the picture of this goldfish, this Hitler goldfish, it looks like somebody's painted on a mustache on this goldfish. Have we checked Snoops on this, Bill?
That's Snopes.
Snoops?
No, Snoops.
We checked Snoops.
We use peanut cartoons for all of our research.
What did Snoopy
say? Get
someone
get Snoops in here.
So we don't know if this is a real story. This is a real goldfish.
Well, it did come from the Weekly World News.
It did.
I have information from Snoops. It says, "Curse you, Red Baron!"
Actually, that's caused by a cold, if you will, a virus.
Mustache is...
Yeah. It's not a mustache. It's just it's a pigment change. Above the upper lip.
So it's not even a species.
How do you know it's not a mustache?
Because I read the damn article.
It looks like a mustache or someone, or maybe this, you know, what it looks like. It looks like this fish passed out at a party and someone decided to draw a little black marker mustache on it.
I realize that if you actually read the article, it would kill this part of the show. But at this point, I'm begging you to please read the article.
Why? I like the pictures. They don't know if the marking is permanent, but be on the lookout for this goldfish, which What part of the world will you find these Hitler goldfish, here, Patrick? Tell me that much.
Anywhere where it gets
where goldfish
that virus. Yeah. The owner, though, didn't make that, you know, in addition to the aforementioned mustache.
So you can see this that, pet store. You might see these goldfish develop this virus in a pet store, maybe even?
Maybe.
That's weird.
She did note that her goldfish is vegetarian, as Hitler was.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it used to be a house painter?
He loves his peas. That's what she says about her goldfish. Okay. Well, who knows? We won't see these in the wild necessarily, hopefully.
I'm not bringing you any more of those articles.
If you do, now you know where they came from. It's a goldfish with a virus. Of course. It is an attitude issue, a problem. More coming up. Thank you.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Talbot, marine photographer and filmmaker. You're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now, here's a guy with a perfect face for radio, and God knows I know what I'm talking about, Greg the Dive Master.
Yeah, Bob Talbot, world-class underwater photographer. He did the videography for the movie Free Willy. I think he still lives out on the West Coast. We're going to go out to the Long Beach Dive Show at the beginning of May. And I need to give him a call. It is very possible he's changed his number from the number that I have for him.
When you say we.
Yeah.
You mean?
Me, the scuba cowboy, Mermaid Tiffany, who's going to join us, his daughter out there for that show.
What about, what's her name out there, the world's hottest Asian mermaid?
Yeah, Faith. Gotta have Faith.
Gotta have Faith.
We're going to have a little powwow with Faith while we're out there on the West Coast as well. So what's your point there, Patrick? What are you trying to say? That you feel left out? We'll be here to report everything to you back here in the studio. So while you're locked in this room with no windows, you'll still be able to hear and travel along with us virtually.
I'm showing by video that this thing is nothing but windows, just so you know.
Yeah, well, but they're bulletproof.
Yeah, for good reason.
And, you know, we're locked in here at the moment. At least you are.
So when is this show?
It's May 4th, or let's see, 5th and 6th.
Yeah. May 5th and 6th. May
that's
5th
a Saturday, 6th. Sunday. We're going to actually do the show on the 5th here
so
in
that's
Orlando.
2 weeks.
Yep, and fly to California right after the broadcast on Saturday night and be there for the show on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah. We are world travelers, and we're going to actually do some diving.
Why not just do the show from Long Beach?
Well, because we got to do our show here. We got a busy, busy schedule. Not only do we do scuba radio, but we got World of Boating. We have to do that radio show. I have this new show, Just Plain Radio. I'm learning how to fly. So I'm in flight school too right now as we speak. So it's busy. So I had to kind of adjust the schedule a little bit. So, and for the record, by the way, in over 15 years of doing scuba radio, I have never dove off the coast of California.
Really?
I have never done it. And this
any reason?
This is about to change because the Monday after the Long Beach Dive Show, we are going to dive there in California.
Well, where in California? You're going to do it right there in Long Beach? You're going to go...
someplace nice and warm, right?
Well, it's California.
But the water's cold.
The water is a little on the chilly side of here.
And yes. There's big, 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 big sharks.
Sharks, but they have these Garibaldi goldfish that I'm really worried about. That's what worries me most. But sharks, nah. But it'll be my first time diving, hopefully, in a kelp forest. So, you know, I'm trying to think about the different, you know, elements, sea lions, things like that, hopefully, that we'll see. As far as the warmth and the temperature of the water, we'll find out about that soon enough.
Well, you've dove off of the Galapagos, so I mean,
Bob Evans,
it'd be that much colder than that.
I would hope not, but my buddy Bob Evans from Force Vins was nice enough to invite us along for a little diving adventure.
He keeps using the plural.
Is
of
he on the
him.
Line right now, Bob Evans?
That is Bob Evans.
Yeah.
Bob, how are you?
Well, I was outside taking a nap.
Okay. And you decided you'd give us a call and set the record straight to let Bill, the producer, know that he is not allowed to join us in California here in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, we're going to go down to the bottom of the Redondo Beach submarine canyon like James Cameron.
Yes, that's right. But without Bill, he's not allowed to come, right?
No, well, if he can come, it'd be great.
Well, no, that wouldn't be great. That would be a downer for all of us. So we're leaving him here in Orlando, Bob. It's just me, you, the scuba cowboy, and a few other, you know, friends and
yeah,
and
maybe
folks.
Jean-Michel and Blair and Holly, the whole team, and
yeah, no, it's gonna
and
be
Bob Maestro. I mean, on the Body Glove boat, it's gonna be awesome. But I want to share with you either the stone anchors that Bob Maestro found that are, who knows how old, off the Palos Verdes, or maybe go into the Redondo Beach Canyon. I mean, it's like the Marianas Trench. It's like tube worms and just drops down like a 45-degree angle into blackness.
Nice. Now, let's get one of the elements out of the way right off the bat here, Bob, because I have never dove off the coast of California, and as Patrick was... nice enough to remind me about, as well as Bill, but neither one of these guys are coming. They're trying to make it sound worse than it really is.
Weren't invited.
The water temperature there off the coast of California this time of year is on the chilly side. Do you have any idea what kind of water temp we might experience here at the beginning of May or what? You have any idea?
I don't know. Don't talk about the water temperature.
That's right.
Well, look at the mermaids on deck. That'll warm us up before we jump over the side.
That's right. Just think warm thoughts, and if that doesn't work, just stare at one of the mermaids. That's what you're saying,
Yeah, or pee-pee in your wetsuit.
I don't know if there's enough pee-pee in my body to make the waters off of Redondo Beach seem warm.
Okay, well, moving on.
We'll have a body glove wetsuit.
That's
the deal. These guys made wetsuits, so we're going to stay warm. I got a body glove wetsuit. We'll be more than glad to jump over this side.
Now, this area off of Redondo Beach, California, that's what, just west of Long Beach, is that right, or am I off on my geography? Where is that? South?
Yeah. It's north. It's north. Okay. From Long Beach. West. Actually, it was going to be, it's funny you bring that up, it was going to be the Los Angeles Harbor at one time, and maybe we can dive on the old pier pilings that are right on the edge of the submarine canyon. And because of that submarine canyon being so close to the shoreline, comes within 30 feet of the beach, they could bring in these big ships at that time. But what happened was Long Beach, San Pedro, I had a larger area. It was a marsh area, and they ended up in the end becoming the official harbor for Los Angeles. So I found a lot of artifacts. Who knows what we'll find out there? We can dive the pier pilings, and it's really cool. There's some really neat stuff out there.
And this is where you chopped your teeth, so to speak, when you initially learned to dive, right?
Yeah. Average diving depth when I was 16 was 150 feet. I mean, and we would dive right on the edge of the canyon wall. It started the edge of it at that where we were, 150 feet. We were like crazy. And double hose regulators, I mean, it was the maestros. I mean, that was the spot at Dive and Surf. I worked there 7 years and grew up in that submarine canyon. And it's awesome. I mean, it's really like what Cameron saw, like the Mariana Trench. It's just really like no man's land.
And that's where subs traverse even today? This is an alleyway that the subs come into port? Is that what they do, or what?
They do that at Point Hueneme has a submarine canyon. That's where the nuke subs come in. They can come into that canyon and come in through the Channel Islands and come in deep, and then there they pop up right offshore.
Nice. All right, more coming up with Bob Evans from Forest Bend. We talk about our California diving adventure next.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Diving with Bob Evans from Forest Bend off the coast of California, Redondo Beach, the day after the Long Beach Dive Show with the folks from Body Glove. Now, Bob, this was where you learned to dive, this is where you grew up diving when you were a young little lad, right? Back in the day? Is that it pretty much?
In Hermosa Beach, and Dive and Surf was the town next over. And,
right.
And, you know, these submarine canyons are unique to California. We started at La Jolla off of Scripps Institute.
Yeah.
And then we have the Redondo Beach Canyon, and then we have the Santa Monica Canyon, then Point Dune, and then Point Hueneme, and then we have the Monterey Canyon off of Monterey where they do all their research out there. So I think the Redondo Beach Canyon, I've been to all of them, diving on the edge of them, but it sets an experience to swim along a sandy bottom, and all of a sudden it just drops down at a 45 degree angle into blackness, Greg, and you can tumble over, and it's all muddy and silty, and it's like spooky, and
so it's like
and
a
it's
creepy
cold,
dive,
and it's green.
All right, now it's not sounding as good as it did a few minutes ago, but it ought to be. We might see sea lions. We might see lobster.
Who knows? A giant squid could be traveling up the canyon looking for some food. I mean, it's really out there. I mean, it takes your breath away. It's a very unique. It's not like all those beautiful coral reefs that we've been diving on over the years.
All right, so this should just be
a new
experience. And
who knows? Hey, Greg, sometimes there's a thermocline, and it's kind of warm, and all of a sudden you come into water that's like ice cubes, and it's crystal clear. Like, you can almost see 80 feet underwater. It's unbelievable. Because
nice.
You get these thermoclines coming up the canyon sometimes, and it's like, it's super cold, but it's really neat.
Well, I am looking forward to it, despite the cold, just because we're going to be able to hang out on the boat with my buddy Bob Evans from Forest Bend and some of his good friends.
Yeah, they look like shriveled up prunes when we get out of the water.
That's right. Shrinkage may be an issue, but hey, we'll suck it up and figure out how to maintain. You'll hear all about it here in a couple weeks when we do that right after the Long Beach Dive Show. beginning of May. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I do like the water.
Oh, water and fish. If you pay half as much attention to me as you do those fish, I'd be the happiest wife in Flatbush.
Pete is there. He also wants to talk about the sinking of the Mohawk.
Yes, cool, clear water. That's what we love when we're divers. Whether it's off the coast of California, off the coast of the Florida Keys, anywhere in the world, it's all good when you're a diver. Now, look, we've had a lot of crazy stories on this show. We've covered stories where divers were left at a dive site. They've made movies about them, disappearing divers, that kind of thing. We've never really talked about disappearing dive boats, liveaboards in particular. And we did have a story this week that my buddy Pete from Scuba Board brought to my attention. We'll bring him on Scuba Radio right now. It is quite unique in this regard. Pete, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. You found my boat yet?
Did I find your boat yet, or what? What are you saying?
Well, dude, I'm gonna lay claim to one of them. Okay. You can have the other.
Okay, yeah. Finders keepers. If you can find
it
the boat, you get
me
to keep it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this. We have two liveaboards that were based in the Galapagos. Not Explorer Ventures, by the way. Our the Humboldt Explorer is operational and good to go, and the official liveaboard of Scuba Radio. No one took that one, thank goodness. But evidently, two other liveaboard boats that were trying to set up operations in the Galapagos have disappeared. Now, what is this, like a Bermuda Triangle kind of thing? What's going on here, Pete?
It's the Galapagos Triangle, man.
Yes. I don't know. What is it? What happened? What did you hear?
The wolf, the buddy wolf, and the buddy Darwin have mysteriously disappeared, and
theories.
Scuttlebutt about this.
Scuttlebutt,
I'm hearing all
of course,
sorts
yeah.
of stuff that the mm-hmm. That the marina was trying to overcharge, double charge, triple charge, and now these boats have disappeared. The GPS tracking has been disabled, and
the repo man.
Well, someone does.
Yeah,
no one I know knows where they're at.
Well, yeah, from what I hear, the repo man has come a knocking, and and came and grabbed a couple boats to hold in their possession until they can work out some kind of financial issue.
The repo men are looking for them.
Oh, that's what you've heard, huh?
Yeah, the repo.
I see. Okay, okay.
The Duena shipyard.
We got a little shell game going
to find
on here.
These boats.
They're
the ones being owed the money, but apparently they're the ones who also overcharged.
Ah, okay. Now I got it right. Yeah, it sounds like quite a mess. Especially for the people that were planning to dive the Galapagos last week and realized that the boat that they were supposed to go out on was not available.
I understand that all that has been taken care of.
Yeah.
And those people are actually diving. It hasn't really impacted them at all.
Hmm.
I could be wrong, but my understanding is that the owners of the boat have made sure that all those type of things are taken care of.
Right. But they may not have been on the boat they were planning on being on.
That's for
initially.
Sure.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see what's going on out there. I know that operation is fairly new to the Galapagos, but I've heard good things about the boat. But we'll
I've
have
heard
to
great
see
things about the boat. I mean, I'm not hearing as many good things about the government in the Galapagos and the way things work down there, but... I've heard great things about the boat, and you know, the people who are part of it are great people, from what I can tell. I've dove with them in Bonaire, which is where the boats are supposedly headed, and they're a class act.
Interesting. Well, it's just one of those things. Maybe another reason why you need to make sure you got trip insurance when you're booking a trip like that. I don't know.
And make sure you have Dan trip insurance at that.
Yeah, maybe so. Patrick, do you have a feeling or a vibe?
Yeah, I think this is tied directly to that cave diver that turned up missing. Remember, he dove into the cave and he went through.
You talking about Ben?
Yeah, the locked gate.
The vortex?
Yeah, they couldn't find him, and then he wound up, he was like owed money somewhere. The IRS was after him.
Ah, one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
I don't
insurance.
Think it's anything to do with Ben, but, you know, hey, good try.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. I was due.
He was trying. Got to give him credit for trying.
Yeah, it, that's another weird one, is the Ben McDaniels affair, but, I don't know if you got told, I have a date Monday with a soon-to-be sunk USS Mohawk in Key West.
Ah, no, I did not hear about this. Or, well, you know what? I did hear about this.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't know it was happening that quickly, though. So how big of a boat is this?
The man who has probably sunk more ships in Florida waters than the Nazis ever did, Joe Weatherby,
right,
is about to sink another one off of Fort Myers.
He is the worst ship captain ever.
Cutter, and I get to go look at it before they take it off to go clean it and gut it.
All right, let me make a suggestion. When you're getting ready to sink it with him, tell Joe Greg had this idea to put a Halloween high quality skeleton on the boat at the helm of the boat. And people think it's real, but it won't be. But, it'll be a nice little gag to pull on everyone, okay?
Yeah.
It'll be a nice little tourist attraction.
Be.
Yeah. It's a long story, Pete. I'll fill you in later.
I'll tell him you have a bone to pick with him.
Oh!
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. Unfortunately, we're down to a skeleton crew here on the Scuba Radio Show. Wait,
okay, so...
Hey, don't rip me.
You guys, really. How big can we dig this hole? Seriously.
Now, that sounded very humorous.
Humorous!
Wow. All right, so how big a boat is this again? It won't be like the Vandenberg, no. But
it's a Coast Guard cutter. Actually, I think I have a listing here about how big it's supposed to be.
Hold on one second.
It is 165-foot long, 36-foot wide.
Okay.
And it will be sunk 20 miles off Elise County's Sanibel Island in late June. Maybe of this year.
That's still impressive. I mean,
I'm not sure how familiar you are, Pete, with the entire array of overboard entertainment programming. But in addition to Just Plain Radio and Scuba Radio, Overboard Entertainment also produces a weekly show about boating called World of Boating.
Right.
And we have on, I'm guessing, and this is conservatively now, a dozen occasions had live radio broadcasts from the deck of that stupid boat.
Are you kidding me?
You have never heard of it. Yes,
well,
it's the Mohawk.
That explains why it's being sunk.
Remember Captain Duchesne?
You know, I don't think it's the boat that's ever stupid. It's the people on the boat.
Well, yeah, it's that nut behind the wheel.
That makes so much sense now.
Mohawk had spent some time, and they were talking about making it into a floating museum, and now they've decided to make it into a sunken museum off of Sanibel Island, 20 miles off of Sanibel Island.
This is going to cost too much to retrofit. Let's just sink it. Why not?
Exactly. All exactly.
Right.
And, you know, and actually, I don't know if you realize this, but there is a bit of movement about to try and stop the sinking of these boats. And you know who's behind the movement?
I have a guess. The fish.
No. Fish love it.
They do love it. They move right in.
They send more.
Say what?
So the people who are in charge of, and of course you might be getting a call from Guido after this, but the longshoremen who are in charge of cutting these ships up for scrap have launched a movement to try to stop the sinking of them because they feel like it's putting them out of work, really. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this stuff up.
Really? So the guys that their job is to strip these Coast Guard cutters or turn them into scrap.
The guys who you have probably heard on more than one occasion say, you know, it would be terrible, it would be a tragedy if something were to happen to your ship. I wouldn't want nothing to happen to your ship. I wouldn't want that to happen.
Before you go, you sink it, would you?
Stop looking at my nose.
See, now we know what happened to the Spiegel Grove. Why you went down upside down?
Right.
Ah. Wow.
I'd hate
never
for
upside
that.
Down, not right.
Never. I'd hate for your ship not to sink.
I would hate what for to happen that we make this boat so it could not sink.
Yeah. God forbid.
Sleep with the fishies tonight. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes, you will not sleep with the fishes.
God forbid your boat goes to China, gets cut up for scrap, gets sold back to the U.S., and gets turned into a car.
God forbid.
Interesting. All right. Well, I had not heard about this controversy. Are we reaching out to this group and telling them? We'll have to find out.
Oh, no. You do not want to reach out to this group, and you don't want them reaching back.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
I didn't really know that, but you know that's Cool in the Gang, right?
And that is Cool in the Gang, baby.
I saw them do this song live as they warmed up for Van Halen last week in Orlando. When this song came on, I was like, oh, yeah, Scuba Radio. Yeah,
I've only heard this song every Saturday for the last 12 years.
Yeah. God bless them. Not necessarily the best warm-up act for Van Halen. But they're great musicians, and they had...
Wait a second, though. Let me ask this question. Were you more interested in seeing Van Halen like you were... Did you say, please, God, can you get Van Halen out on this stage now, please? That may be what they were looking for.
Well, I will say, you know, out of the entire pretty much sold-out Orlando Arena, or whatever the hell they call it now...
The Amway Center.
Yeah. It's... When Cool and the Gang played,
Yes, there were plenty of refreshments sold.
Yeah.
And seats available.
No. The place was there, but everybody was sitting down with the exception of some ladies that seemed to enjoy cooling the gang more than the guys.
Are you sure they
that
were
had
ladies?
Brought them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there was a little booty shaking going on. So it was kind of like, okay, well, at least there's something to watch.
All right, can I ask you?
Mama like, shake it, Papa Bill.
Ouch.
I could have done without that.
All right, Pete from Scuba Boards on the line, really. We don't want to keep him on hold for
Are
this.
Are you sure he's still on the line?
Hey, me.
I'm here.
He's
like
still
I said,
there.
I doubt there are little booties there at that show. There are probably big booties.
Well, you know, some of them have taken care of themselves.
And I cannot lie.
But they were doing the hustle and God knows what other, you know, crazy dance moves, shaking their moneymakers. So they gave us
there
something to
go.
Do while we kind of suffered through that part of the program. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to diving. Pete from Scuba Board. Now, we talked about these... issues with the liveaboards missing. We talked about, you know, this other, you know, these other issues. But you have just got back from diving in the Keys, actually last weekend, I guess, from Cannon Beach there in Penny Camp Park, which is where
exactly.
That was the last place I dove in the Florida Keys, which is one of the sites the dive instructors go.
That was a cannon.
When they have a student that's been a little unruly. And they want to get their skills honed. They'll take them to Cannon Beach and drill some of those skills into them. No, wait, that's not right.
Well, it's either when the student has been too unruly or the waters are too unruly.
Yes,
for us
there
to take
you
the
go.
Students out
that's
there.
Right. So it's a very easy entry area and it's protected from the weather. You got that place
it's
in Key Largo.
Very protected. It's a little filthy, so you have to have good kicking. You know, if you don't have good kicks down, then you aren't going to see anything. But
right.
It's a wonderful place to take students. I love it.
Yeah, and that's where I took my last student because we had the same thing. We got down there to the Keys, just like this week, and I hear that the weather's not cooperating down there today much. And there may be some instructors out there at Cable Beach today or Jules Undersea Lodge. The other
or Cannon
side.
Beach.
Or
the
Cannon
one we're
Beach.
Actually talking about.
Which is yeah. a close second to Cable Beach, according to...
Yeah, Cable Beach is a whole other place.
Cable Beach.
We keep talking about it like it's down here.
That's in the Bahamas.
Cable Beach is a really nice place to go. Unfortunately, you need to call ahead. You need to have an appointment. You get a 5-hour window of when you might be able to go into the water at Cable Beach. And then sometimes the connection's a little iffy.
Okay. So we'll stick to Cannon Beach. And so you went there.
So how many.
What?
I have to ask you, how many lobsters did you see when you were at Cannon Beach?
I saw a plethora of nothing when I went there,
really?
Actually.
A small herd of nada.
We actually did, when I took my students there to Cable Beach that day, the water...
Cannon Beach!
Well, that was the first problem. We took them to the wrong place. But then when we went to Cannon Beach...
comments I made earlier about the silt, if you kick it wrong, you won't be able to see anything. You sort of found that out first.
Yeah, well, we were doing navigation skills and doing compass stuff. So actually, that worked to our favor because it made my students a little bit more in tune with their navigation.
You didn't have to blindfold them.
I didn't have to blind them. Yeah, we didn't have to put foggles on them or anything.
Last week when I was out there with a student, we saw no fewer than 20 lobsters hold up.
Wow.
Along the walls.
Really?
In that little place.
That is mind-boggling. And, of course, well, wait a minute. When I went, it was lobster season. Last weekend, lobster season's over.
Greg, so, I've been seeing them all year. And every time I go in there, I see a dozen lobsters from smalls to big guys. It's in a protected area. You can't take them out
right.
of there
doesn't
even
matter,
if it's
does it?
Not.
Yeah, good point.
Even
good
if it
point.
Is season.
So, I mean, were they taunting you? Did they seem like they knew they were in a protected area?
They definitely knew.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of them were a little worried because we had other big fish in there.
Yes.
You know, this is open to the ocean. We've been visited by dolphin, by manatee.
Wow.
We had a big permit come through yesterday, the other day, 30 inches easy, with a big old lure hanging out of its mouth. And you never know what you're going to see there.
Yeah. Well, see, the day I went, we didn't see much, but that was just, you know, luck of the draw. But I'm going to have to go back there, I think. I mean, the other place, they got Jules Undersea Lodge, which is a site where a lot of the dive instructors go on a rough day like today, too, which, and that's kind of a fun place. But you get the same problem with the visibility can be iffy and that kind of thing, but...
Actually, I think more people go there, so the visibility always is iffy.
Well, that could be, yeah, because it gets stirred up and that kind of thing. But sounds like Cannon Beach or Cable Beach.
Way better than Cable Beach.
Yeah. Might be a better alternative for chance sightings of dolphins and lobsters and God knows what else. All right, well, that'll have to do it for this week. Till next week, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good diving, everybody.
It's a failure, you're out of whale here. That's why it's hot. I'm not in watch out. Yeah, we get lucky.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.